Grace and peace to you, the beloved community, in the name and spirit of Jesus the Christ. We welcome all those who gather for worship in person, in such a lovely group you are, and those that gather online, and what a lovely group you are too. We welcome everyone on this eighth Sunday after Pentecost. And this service does originate from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and I'm joined by our worship team, production engineer and special musicians Barb Fuller and Deanne McCormick. And our liturgist today is Greta Delaney. All of you, as always, are invited into our Friendship Center following the close of the worship service because, as you know, fellowship is an extension of worship, so we'd love to have you in there, but we have something special today, and that's a meal. There is a meal prepared for all of you, and I've got the word that there is plenty of food, and they were hoping that there'd be extra people to come in and eat. So this is not a potluck. This is a meal that's been prepared, and those that were scheduled to bring food have done that. So if you don't have an urgent schedule following church, we would love to have you in the Friendship Center, and that is part of a very special event. Jerry Fuller comes to share about that special event.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. This is a very special day. What makes this day special, you may ask? Besides the day that the beloved community meets to worship God and fellowship with each other, you are witnessing the day that our dream finally becomes a reality. Your building committee on this day is making it official and celebrating the liftoff of the installation of our handicap accessible wheelchair lift, which makes access to and from our sanctuary indoors and barrier-free. Construction has been awarded, and the lift will be installed late this summer to early fall. Exciting. You may have already seen the donation step chart and thermometer in the lobby. There are printed copies of these also available. You will notice that a quarter of the donations to pay for the lift and construction of the space have already been made, and more have been pledged. If you are able and interested in helping with this project, you may make a cash donation, or you may choose to fill out a pledge card, which is available today at either end of the sanctuary and in the Friendship Center. The thermometer chart will be updated weekly and displayed on the monitor in the lobby. To celebrate, you are all invited to a light lunch, as Pastor Mark said, after the church service today, prepared by the members of the building committee. Please join us in the Friendship Center for a fun event where you can observe how the lift will operate and get answers to any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. So the members of the building committee, I guess, includes me, which means that we are going to be servers today. So we're going to serve you, and that will be our privilege. Did you know we have a new celebrity in our midst here today? Now, many of you already know him, but he was on television in a clip that had to do with the bill before the Michigan legislature on the rights of the homeless, and David Mandra was interviewed. So if you want to go to Fox 47, I think it may be available there, if not today, very soon, on the clip. And David, when we saw that, we were very proud. David also reports today that his wonderful person that has been a surrogate mother to him and who's been here with us a number of times, Jody Washington, I'm assuming that as she was out campaigning for her campaign for city council, she was brutally attacked by a dog. And she's not in the hospital, is that right? Or is she home, David, do you know? But she knows that Mayflower Church is a church that responds and prays. So would you pray for Jody Washington as she, I saw the pictures and it's not pretty. But she was spared further terrible damage to her body and will likely recover. But just pray for Jody Washington in her hour of need. This Saturday at 11 o'clock a.m., a memorial service will take place here at the Mayflower Church for the celebration of the life of Jan Holcomb, a beloved member of our church who passed away last fall. As part of her life of faith, she was a most enthusiastic supporter of MSU athletics and a proud fan of the green and white. So, in her honor and her memory, we are asking that as you come, as many of you who can be here, that you would wear MSU colors. And to my understanding, that would be green and white. And we are going to, in her service, we are going to sing some songs that will be very familiar if you are in any way connected or a fan or a supporter or perhaps an employee of Michigan State University. And following the 11 o'clock service, there will be a lunch provided for everybody that's here in our Friendship Center. Well, today's worship service has a theme, as it usually does. It is uncomfortable exposure. Now, that could mean a lot of things, but that's designed to pique your interest. I hope it does. Our chosen lectionary scripture is a section of Psalm 139, which asserts God's all-encompassing knowledge and presence in our lives. Now, initially, that can make us uncomfortable, but we hope that as you leave today, by the time we are all together and finished in the Friendship Center, we will happily and cheerfully acknowledge the wonderful presence and knowledge of God. Let us now worship God.
Thank you, Deanne. Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
You guys look great today, and we're happy that you've made it to church amidst the rain. Today is a special day, as we will share a meal together following the service in our Friendship Center. After years of dreaming, thinking, praying, and now planning, we are celebrating the liftoff of our campaign to make it easier and much more convenient for our mobility-challenged attendees to get from the sanctuary to the Friendship Center. And as a person that's fallen down those stairs, I'm okay with that change. God has helped us during this entire process, and we believe God knows our church, knows our needs, and knows each of us. In one sense, this gives us great reassurance. And on the other hand, when anyone knows everything about us, it can be intimidating, and it can also violate our sense of privacy. Today in worship, we will explore together God's pervasive knowledge of us, including the pleasing imagery we see in our chosen psalm. But we will also think about the complexities and problems when our sense of privacy is violated, even if it involves God. So let's lower our guards a bit, open our hearts, and allow God to penetrate the vulnerable areas of our lives without fear of judgment and with the knowledge of God's ever-reaching love, from which nothing can separate. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Lord, we have come into your house where we believe we will experience the glorious presence of God. We pray that you would help us welcome and invite the presence of God even as it penetrates the inner reaches of our souls. We pray that the Spirit of God would help us lower our defenses, remove our fear, and let God's all-encompassing presence bring joy, openness, and sometimes correction to our lives and to our church. We pray for the task ahead of us as we embark upon our campaign to help our physically challenged members and friends to more easily move into the area of our church where we break bread and share rich fellowship together. We thank you for the sacrifices made, including the planning, giving, and praying, which has gone before and is sustaining us through this challenging yet rewarding time. All of this we commit to your leadership and guidance as we invite the searching and penetrating presence of God into our worship, our fellowship, our learning, and our serving together. We now offer this and all our prayers in the name of Christ. Amen.
Joy for one like me, and there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom. For Jesus, Lord Jesus. For Jesus. us, Lord Jesus. Is in this very
probably shocked you too. But I'm just looking out here and I see a lot of folks, and I'm not going to wait till the end of the service to help identify some of the people that are with us today. You ready for this? Well, you know a lot of people, and I might just happen to skip over somebody, and if I do that, somebody say, hey, okay, just say, hey, I can take it, okay? I'm looking down rows here and I see a former pastor and his wife, who is a very special people to this congregation, Dave and Nancy Banfield. So Dave, wait, just give everybody a wave there. How many of you were here last summer when Dave shared from the pulpit a very riveting and moving story, some things that have happened in his life? How many? Yeah, a number of you were here. So Dave, that resonates to this day. Nancy, it's good to see you. Kate Fuller came in as a surprise, shocked her grandparents, who are Barb and Jerry Fuller. So Kate, and guess what? Kate was interested in seeing my new Toyota Prius because she drives a Prius that belonged to her great uncle and has it out in the parking lot. And I was kind of like, mine's a little newer. Just kidding, Kate, a little bit. How about our folks that have returned from Germany? Justin, Jamie, Sharon, how was it over there? All right. It was hot? Okay, we know that Europe is going through a heat wave like much of our country is. And they went to see Kate's mother, and that's April Fuller, who's a member of our church and a very lovely soprano voice. So, what's that? What did I say? Oh, April, if you're watching, please forgive me. April, okay. I did her wedding. I should know. I introduced her and her husband Jeff as the Lakatos couple. All right. Now, we've got some very special folks here that are longtime members of Mayflower. And Terry Graham, since your wife is here a time or two, I'm going to point out that Terry Graham is here today. Some of you, many of you know Terry. Give him a wave, Terry. And Sharon, now you got a couple of introductions to make here. Go ahead. All right, wonderful to have you two. If my memory is correct, when they were teeny, they were here when I was here at Mayflower. So it's good to see both of you. Great to have you in worship today. Okay, some of you have seen Carol Dunn, who's been here several times in our worship. Today, she came without her husband Glenn because he was taken to the hospital in McLaren overnight. I think he's going to be all right, but he has pneumonia, and that's where you'll be headed afterwards. So, Carol, it's great to see you in our worship service today. How about my friends Dick and Lori Carmax? You know them because they're here occasionally. They live on the western side of Flint. That means it's only about 45 minutes to get here to Mayflower. Okay? So, out of their garden, they brought me some squash today. How about that? Okay? Do I recognize a guest seated between Evelyn and Marion, or she has been here before? Who am I? Okay, she has. Okay, all right. Just want to acknowledge everybody here. Let me see, just go through. Sue, you were away, and you were here last week, but it's great to have Sue Katie with us. Let me think here. Our granddaughters over here, granddaughters of Tom and Marcia Cornell. And by the way, for those of you who may be visitors, we have two Tom and Marcias in this church. It's really cool. Here's the other Tom and Marcia up here, and there's a Tom and Marcia back there with lovely granddaughters, and we got some green and purple paint that we're making a youth room downstairs, and I've yet to do that, but trust me, I'll get it done, okay? We had a little water down there last week, kind of slowed the painting process down a little week, or last week. And we got more here, folks. I'm just going to go back and step right here. I want everybody to look at this special group here. Check it out, folks. That's my brother-in-law, Jack. This is my sister, Jennifer, otherwise known as Jenny, and Laurel, and Emma, and Jesse, three of the four children. They've been up celebrating a move by another sister of mine, and I'll make that connection, but oh my goodness, how special. And I'm thinking, the only other time that you guys were here was on Grandma's 90th birthday, right? I remember that. Okay. Carlene, it's good to see you too. And another Carla, not Carlene, Carla. And yes, Deborah, you've been here. Okay, just want to acknowledge. And Lawrence, we had a good time at the game the other night, didn't we? Okay. Show a little enthusiasm. I took with Lawrence to the Lugnuts game, and here's an interesting fact. Lawrence went to the game, and he told me, and he's my age, by the way. Is that okay to say, Lawrence? You look a lot younger than, you're older than me, but he's close to the same age. First sporting event that he ever went to in his life. And we sat in the mayor's suite at Lugnuts. So, Lawrence, that was fun. And I met this gentleman last Sunday, and that happens to be Lillian, your son, Chris, right? Is that correct? Chris, it's wonderful that you could join us for today. And what a marvelous birthday party that was out at Lake Lansing. All right. And it was a great cause for celebration, too. That's your guest. Who's that? Oh, Carla. Okay. Yeah, Carla's been here before, but Carla, great to have you. Guest. You're leaving Thursday. Moving? Okay. God bless you as you go, Carla. Okay. All right. And, of course, you know my sister, Chris. She's almost a member here, right? Okay. Well, it's okay. You're all guests of Mayflower, and that's a wonderful thing. Did I miss anybody that somebody wants to introduce? All right. Just couldn't help myself, folks. Well, now comes the offering, so I thought it'd warm you up a little bit. A reminder to the visitors in our service that we do not pass offering plates in worship, as your presence in our church today is your gift to us, and we mean that from the bottom of our hearts. For those that are prepared with a pledge or offering, your faithful and generous gifts can be deposited at either entrance to our sanctuary. And Galatians 6, 9 through 10 is a good reminder of what we are doing to help others navigate our building more easily. And here it is. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. So, let us now worship God with the giving of our time, our talents, our treasures, and indeed our very selves. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, we have brought ourselves into worship today, and we are anxious for your blessing, your inspiration, your instruction, and sometimes your correction. We also come to find strength in numbers as we seek the fellowship of like-minded fellow worshipers, bound together in the Spirit of Christ. While we always pray for the needs of the world, and, O Lord, the list is long, its leaders, and for our nation, community, and neighborhoods, and especially for those in peril and in desperate need, we ask a special blessing upon the efforts of this day. We thank you for the sacrifices of those now and in times past who courageously navigate all manner of weather on the way to our Friendship Center to share in fellowship and the breaking of bread. Today we ask for your help as we seek to raise funds so inclement weather will no longer be a factor in the all-important continuation of worship through the wonderful bond of Christian fellowship. Be with all those who give, and also with those who cannot give, to the glory of God. Continue to give guidance and direction to the members of the building committee and finance team. Give safety and Godspeed to those who will be doing construction in and around our building. May this and every effort resound to the building of your kingdom as we continue to dedicate this God-given facility to the service and witness of Christ, beginning here at Mayflower, in the Luton Rich community, and extending to the utter reaches of the earth. Even as we give to accommodate those with physical need, we continue to pray for those whose lives and families have been interrupted by physical illness, and those who have suffered loss, and for all those who long for a special healing touch from God, both physically and spiritually, as we pray now for those on our prayer list and for those upon our minds and hearts who we mention now by first name. Help us now as we pray together like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is from the book of Psalms, 139, verses 1 through 12, and verses 23 through 24. Now, it's one thing to acknowledge the presence of God, yet another to invite and welcome it. Hear now these words. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar away. You search out my path and my lying down, are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, you have blessed the reading from sacred scripture. Now bless these words humbly offered. Amen. Well, I'm going to start with something that might not be considered wise, especially if I was a teacher, and maybe even as a preacher. How many of you have a smartphone? Raise your hand. If you have it with you, I want you to just raise them up. Just raise up your smartphone, okay? All right. You got a lot of smartphones. I meant to bring mine here today. I so often leave it because Siri misinterprets the sermon every time. We've had that happen. Actually, I still have my watch on. That can be dangerous too, the Apple Watch. Now, have you ever had the experience that I've had? By the way, I hope your phones are turned off. We're not inviting everybody to talk to Grandma this morning. But have you ever noticed that your smartphone seems to be listening to your conversations? Anybody ever noticed that? Have you ever experienced an ad appearing moments after a conversation about a certain thing? It wasn't too long ago that I was with a group of people. We were discussing what our favorite breakfast cereal was, and I looked on my smartphone, and there immediately appeared an ad for Cheerios. You know, maybe Kim needs to have a session with us all to kind of explain how that works. Do you ever think that that can be intimidating and maybe even a little disturbing? Is Big Brother constantly listening to us and always trying to sell us something by gathering information that we might otherwise not want to let out? So you've heard the psalm, and it begs the question, do you consider God the big brother in the sky? As human beings, we have an innate sense of privacy, and we often go to great lengths to protect it. And it is even more true for us as Westerners and Americans. While the Constitution does not have specific language regarding the right of privacy, our Bill of Rights protects and implies the right to privacy with the right of beliefs in the First Amendment. There shall be no law establishing an establishment of religion. The privacy of our homes is guaranteed in the Third Amendment, that no soldier shall, in times of peace, be quartered in any home without the consent of the owner. The right against unreasonable search and seizure is guaranteed in the Fourth Amendment. The Fifth Amendment grants privilege against self-incrimination in courts of law. And the Liberty Clause in the 14th Amendment protects us from any state that shall deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. For those of you who are attorneys, you probably understand this language better than most of us. So, does our concept of law negatively affect our view of God's pervasive knowledge of the human soul? Turning more specifically to the text, Psalm 139 is often used to support three doctrines about our belief in God. First is the doctrine of the omnipotence of God. The omnipotence of God is the doctrine having to do with God's unlimited power. Literally, that's what that doctrine means. Secondly, is the doctrine of the omnipresence of God. This is the doctrine that which means that God is everywhere present, all the time, and all at once. In other words, God can be present with you, and God can be present with me. And then the third is the omniscience of God. This is the doctrine that God knows everything, past, present, and future. However, each of these terms and those doctrines are sometimes often debated among faithful Christians. But those doctrines or terms fail to do justice to this psalm, since the psalmist did not intend to articulate a systematic doctrine of God. It is not my intent either, because doctrinal differences divide Christians. Jesus' prayer for all of his followers was that we become one. Remember, we Congregationalists value and respect personal conscience with regard to the interpretation of the Scriptures and the gospel, which means that we are comfortable with differences on doctrine, which we believe does not necessarily negatively affect the unity of the church. Rather than purporting a specific doctrine of God, the psalmist affirms that God knows us intimately and that God is with us constantly, no matter what. This psalm is intensely personal. While Psalm 139 on the surface presents a pleasing imagery of being known intimately by God, the knowledge of being not known by God is also complex. The personal awareness of God's knowledge and presence can be thought of in a positive light, but it also can be understood in a negative light. And it depends significantly on the nature of our human relationships, societal structure, and our religious tradition. Our understanding of God's penetrating knowledge of the human heart affects our sense of vulnerability, trust, openness, and transparency, not only to God, but it affects the same in our relationship with others. In other words, I believe there is a connection between our transparency with God and our transparency with others. Now, it cannot be assumed that being known by God is good news for all of us all of the time. Verses 5 and 7 are good examples. Verse 5 suggests that God's knowledge and presence is intrusive and restrictive. Here's what it says. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand on me. Verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Context changes how we view biblical texts. While the Psalm's reference to the hand of God can be understood as comforting and guiding, being so close to God can also be as burdensome as it is beautiful. The image presented by the psalmist can be similar to that of a caged or cornered animal trying to escape. For some, the thought that God lurks and works even in dark places, as the scripture said in Sheol, the place of death, or later in the unread portion of the chapter, in the womb, described in the parts of this psalm which were not read, these too can be burdensome. The ability to trust the motives of an invasively searching God may have much to do with the earliest relationships with authority figures, such as parents, teachers, the police, and the religious traditions of our youth. If one or both of your parents were demanding, disciplining with the rod, and rarely approving, it will have undoubtedly affected your relationship of trust to God and with others. The same could be said of the influence of teachers, and especially so with those who attended parochial schools. I have heard ghost stories of some who attended Catholic schools who suffered at the hands of overly strict nuns. Now, just to make sure you know that I'm not picking on the Catholics, so we have people in our church who are members who still feel very strongly and good about their relationships as a Catholic. I will tell you that my granddaughter Sage attends an all-girls Catholic school, St. Gertrude's, in Richmond, Virginia, and she is getting a fine education that will likely open a world of possibilities as she begins to think about college and a career. And to my knowledge, a nun has never slapped her on the wrist with a ruler. For some in our congregation who are black, there are well-documented cases where a fear of the police is well-founded. Just ask Lawrence Kimball or Eugene Potts concerning stories that I have heard of police harassment. And finally, if in your religious tradition you heard it in class or from the pulpit, lots of rhetoric about the punishment of hell and the judgment of God, it will likely have a big effect on your view of the all-encompassing presence and knowledge of God. When I was young, with all due respect, I was often aware of the presence of God only when I felt I had done something wrong. Perhaps some of you can identify. I struggled with the feeling of guilt and the constant feeling that with God, I never quite measured up to the standard of behavior expected of a faithful follower of God. Here is a little way of measuring your view of the awareness of the presence of God. When you think of meeting God at the moment of your death, do you view it as a courtroom facing the judgment of God? Or do you think of it as a banquet hall where reunion and celebration will be the rule of the experience? I might tell you, as you might know, that both of those images are biblical images. I hope that my habit of personal confession from the pulpit does not seem inappropriate for a minister, but I can identify with the negative view of the awareness and the inescapable presence of the intimate knowledge of God. For the first 45 years of my life, I could easily count the number of times I had ever missed church or being involved in church, including my previous 20-year stint as a pastor. After a divorce and a change of careers for approximately 15 years, the opposite came true for me. I could easily count the number of times during those years that I attended church, as my work meant that I would be working on most Sundays. Sundays, curiously, were often the most lucrative for tour guides regarding tips. Maybe the people on tour felt guilty for their being not being in church and gave a generous tip to assuage their guilt. I thought about that many times. Sundays were good for tour guides. I'm not completely sure about that, but my separation from church life in some sense parallels my imposed exile and seeming escape from the presence of God. So my concluding remarks relate to the beloved community and the effect it can have upon a satisfying view of the knowledge and presence of God. In these last 12 years following my full-time stint in a career which by the nature and intent of it took me away from church, the pastoral ministry, and the beloved community, I now consider my relationship to the beloved community a lifeline and a conduit to the welcoming, affirming, and searching presence of God. It can be an intimidating thing to stand before a congregation each week, especially in a smaller church, and attempt to speak for God and to facilitate interpretation of Holy Scripture. You might call it uncomfortable exposure, as all the aspects of my personality, background, become subject to what could be uncomfortable exposure. But instead of judgment, scrutiny and exposure. I'm sure that the other former pastor of Mayflower here could identify with this. I feel love, support, and genuine care. What a difference that feeling can have on my view of the all-invasive, all-encompassing presence of God. In that sense, I can identify with persons who walk through the doors of this church almost every week, some of them fearfully, having experienced judgment, separation, and rejection in the life of a church, but seeking refuge, acceptance, affirmation, and support within the beloved community. With some sense of sadness, we are living in a time when church is no longer a mainstream activity in our society. And the numbers certainly reflect that we are living in a time of unprecedented decline of the influence in society of what we call church. But along with a sense of despair comes amazing opportunities to rewrite negative experiences and to write new chapters of encouraging and welcoming the presence and knowledge of God in our lives and in our church. How? Well, this first one I think is one of the toughest ones, but I think I've seen this happen more so all the time. By confessing our sins, even the egregious ones, to each other in an atmosphere of common experience and identity, acknowledging the central tenet of our faith, that in Jesus we find forgiveness, acceptance, belonging, and wholeness. By recognizing our fiduciary role as emissaries of the Christ we claim to be the head of our church. By overlooking the faults of others as they overlook our faults. By adopting and then practicing what we all preach. By adhering to core values of respect and unconditional love. And finally, by taking our mission seriously as Christ has called us to serve each other, such as in the project you shall hear more about today around the table in the Friendship Center. And then to seek those beyond the walls of the beloved community by serving and giving sacrificially as we are able in the Spirit and at the command of Christ. In so doing, we, like the psalmist, first acknowledge our unholy desire for God to kill and do away with our enemies. Where does that come from? Sometimes the lectionary leaves it out. The psalmist, here in 139, says something that garnered abruptly my attention in verse 19. He says, "Oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me." What's up with that? Well, I can tell you that I can identify with the psalmist that we have an unholy desire to solve our problems by blaming others and expecting that God will deal with them harshly. But the psalmist comes full circle, and that is that with the full knowledge of God's infinitely reaching and redemptive presence, we turn the attention not to others even who have wronged us, but to ourselves when we make a plea with God, knowing of His loving and gracious responses. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting, which is the way of love, the way of forgiveness, the way of hope. and the way of the richest fellowship and acceptance that any beloved community could ever be. Thanks be to God. And by the way, if you want a familiar hymn, you better sing it, folks. This is a familiar one. I think a person who is blind can better understand the presence of God. You may not know that the person who wrote that song is Fanny Crosby, who was blind from birth, wrote 6,500 mostly beloved hymns. And we have a person in our sanctuary that exudes that same spirit. Arlene, we give a lot of credit to you for helping us understand that aspect of the presence of God has nothing to do with physical capability. It has everything to do with a joyful spirit. So when you say hi to Arlene today, ask her if she's having a dandy day. Now, I've already had a dandy day, but more dandy is coming as we share together in the Friendship Center in Nauvoo, the very presence, the peace, and the all-encompassing love and presence of God be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. Music team up there doing a pretty good job, even if I have a little vested interest, right? Okay. With both of them, by the way, in their own way. Well, I've already given you a heads up. You kind of know who's here, so you don't have much excuse if you just, just kind of walk out and not think about somebody else. Now, we realize there may be people that have to make a beeline, and that's fine. But if you can stay a little bit, even if it's in the sanctuary, or certainly inviting all to the Friendship Center, take a little time, if you will, to the level of your comfort, maybe just a little bit out of your comfort zone and say hi and give a welcome to somebody that you might not have ever met before. There are several here. And, let's see. We have some of the greatest serving, inspiring nonogenarians in this church. They've been wonderful. Is that what you call them, nonogenarians? Well, anyway, Lillian was 90 on Friday, Lillian. there we go. And I tell you, it's a big risk here, but Sharon Stevens will be 90 next Saturday. And you know what? She just got back from Germany. And my wife was up at Higgins Lake this week riding around in a big pontoon boat piloted by one of her great friends. And she's 97 years old, and she got in the water and did her typical 30 laps around the boat or whatever it is. So, folks, when you're 90 or whenever, it isn't over. It isn't over until it's over, and even then, it's not over if we have faith. So, God bless you all. It's wonderful to see some special folks, and you know that includes all of you. Might even include me. Now, let's eat. What?